Hello everyone, and welcome back to Queer Love Forever. I'm Kim, your queer matchmaker, here to monologue about queer connection and love, give advice on your love life woes. Queer Love Forever, it's a new name. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but I changed the name. This used to be the love advice segment, but that was getting a bit too specific. I wanted the space to talk about queer love in general. And Queer Love Forever is also a fabulous affirmation or request. I love that. you can probably tell I'm a bit sick. I hope that only adds to the experience of listening to me on a podcast. I do try and record these in one go to avoid the black hole of audio editing. But I will be pausing to avoid coughing into your ears. So, well. I've had a busy few weeks, as is clear by the fact that I'm not well. I've been chipping away at a few projects, one of them being Queer IRL, the campaign to encourage people to get off dating apps for Pride Month and meet each other IRL in real life at Queer Run events this June. So we'll be seeing more about that soon. And by the way, thank you for the very sweet feedback I've been getting about this. I'm hearing all about how much you all hate dating apps and are excited for a month when you can delete them and have some IRL romance and connecting. Almost all of the messages I've had about this have also contained some worry. Do I even know how to connect in real life? How do I flirt? How do I ask someone out? Don't worry, I've thought of this. There will be plenty of support and tips coming your way as part of the Queer IRL campaign. It's not easy to connect these days. It's not easy to connect anyway. Socializing is hard, but especially these days. So I'm endeavoring to help make things easier. Speaking of which, I have the first request for advice in a while. If you want to request some free love advice, then there is a link in my link tree. I'll put it in the description, and it's also my Instagram. And this particular request is very queer IRL related, so I'll get into it now. I'm going to read it first. Hi Kim, thank you for all your amazing work. I love what you do. I'm 23 and I've never been in a relationship or dated beyond a few dates. I feel silly for it and behind all my peers. Something I'm trying to unlearn. I would like to meet people and be more comfortable with the vulnerability of dating and connecting with people I like, but I feel this massive block. Instinctively, my body wants to run away from crushes, but my brain wants to connect with them. I think there have been factors such as the isolating nature of London, I hate dating apps, I find small talk very draining, and personal things I've had going on in my life. Busyness, demanding job, some food and weight issues have all had an impact. However, whilst I feel like these issues have contributed, I'm able to work through them / find alternatives to not let them get so much in the way of dating. For example, a whole orange events, prioritising time for dating, being more outspoken when I do like someone, as in London, I will probably otherwise never see them again. The other day, my mum asked about my dating life. I found the conversation so difficult and I didn't want to say anything because I felt so ashamed. What occurred to me, though, was my lack of self-love preventing me from connecting with people intimately. I have an incredibly self-critical radio running constantly in the back of my head. I've had this for most of my life, and I've confronted the worst of it, but still, it lives on. I don't want someone to get to know me romantically because I fear I will ruin them, and they will see the worst parts of me. I worry I will be as critical towards them as I am to myself. I hate a lot about myself and I don't know how to change this. Oh, baby. Oh, my love. Okay, first things first. They say I've never been in a relationship or dated beyond a few dates. I feel silly for it and behind all my peers, which is something I'm trying to unlearn. Can anyone listening to this who has felt this way, felt left behind, felt fear about connecting with people, had that radio of self-criticism running in the background, getting in the way, can we all please make sure that this person knows that they aren't alone in this feeling? You can put something like in the Spotify comments, so when they're listening to this, they can look and see that other people have felt this way too. You can even just write the word same, because this feeling is intense and horrible and lonely, but you are not alone in feeling it. I've certainly felt this way. I sometimes still do. I probably will again. We are in an ongoing dialogue with ourselves, and when the world teaches you to hate yourself, these feelings are likely to pop up. And especially in a world of comparison. You mentioned dating apps. That's such a site for comparison. Social media as well. You know what they say, compare and despair. I still do this as well. As I was writing this, I had just been on Instagram doing this. For me, it's more about seeing other queer businesses and organizers on social media and feeling envious of their confidence, their progress, their opportunities. I'm not sure how to translate this to dating, but my approach with that is to allow the feeling of envy, check if it's giving me direction, and if not, make an active effort to be happy for them, connect with them emotionally in that moment, and maybe actually connect with them to congratulate them in the comments. It's good for engagement. And appreciate them as part of the community that we both exist in. Move from a competitive place to a community perspective. Yeah, that's a bit off topic, but how can this approach apply here? Can it apply here? Yeah, two things. Checking your envy for direction. By this, I mean seeing if a comparison that you're making with someone else shows you something you genuinely want to cultivate in your life. For my situation, being envious of someone making videos like reels about their work, is that a signal that I want to do that? In this case, yes, definitely, there is a signal that I want to do that. And so I can thank the envy for this direction and make sure I follow that thread to do something new that I'm scared to do, but obviously want to do. For dating, this could be feeling envious of friends who go to loads of queer events or have loads of queer friends, dress visibly queer, ask people out in person. Is this because you'd like to do these things as well? If so, take the envy as direction to actively move towards these things. And the other part that I think is really related to dating is that moving to connection or community from a place of comparison. The listener writes, I would like to meet people and be more comfortable with the vulnerability of dating and connecting with people I like. Now, I could be wrong about this, but the fact that you found the conversation with your mum about dating so difficult and that you didn't want to say anything because of feeling so ashamed gives me the idea that there's maybe not that many people you talk about this with, talk about the vulnerability of dating and connecting. And vulnerability is so intimidating because the only sort of vulnerability in connecting you're kind of like thinking about is in an intimate relationship, which is very 0 to 100 to go straight into the vulnerability of dating from kind of like not even wanting to talk about vulnerability with other people. And of course, that prospect seems like an impossible jump. We need to find the steps in between. The steps in between being separate and being in a close, intimate, romantic relationship. This is where community and connection comes in. My work involves one-to-one sessions with clients, workshops and events, and all of these, I mean, they have their aims outside of this, but the main aim is to kind of encourage connection of all types. In the one-to-one sessions, you're connecting with me. You're sharing your dating wants and needs with me, and we are chatting about what gets in the way. At the workshops, you're doing this with other members of the workshop group, all talking about your dating lives, the frustrations and the feelings involved. At events, it's not like speed dating one-on-one. It's organized so you chat in groups and you have conversation cards to help with this. But it's a process of getting to know each other in a typical social situation, a group of people chatting and connecting with each other, not just like exchanging basic facts about yourselves. Some people ask me about when it comes to events, some people ask me, is it embarrassing if I don't find someone at your event and then I keep coming month after month, or if I keep coming multiple times or I come to multiple events, is that embarrassing because I haven't found someone immediately? And of course not. These events are spaces where talking to new people is top of the agenda. There's not many spaces like that that exist these days. And usually you chat to a lot of new people, but you'll not meet every single queer person in London at the one event. So you might not find your perfect partner the first time you come. I set the environment, but I cannot curate the attendees. So to make sure that the person you'd be the perfect match with is guaranteed to be there when you also attend. If you're a statistical anomaly and just very lucky, you'll meet your perfect match at the first event that you come to. But for the rest of us, it takes some time. Showing up open to connection is as often as you like until you run into each other. And in the meantime, I recommend being open to whatever connections you find along the way. People often make friends at my events. Let me be more general. All sorts of queer events. People often make friends at queer events. And the more people you connect with, the more likely you are to run into someone you're compatible with, that you fancy, who likes you back. It could be the first person you meet at the Dalston Superstore Mix and Mingle, or it could be the friend of the friend of the cousin of the person you met at the party that you went to with someone that you went to the Voodoo Rays with after the event. You know, like, love does not have a formula. You don't input a certain number of hours on Hinge plus a certain number of queer events and get a partner out of it. It's a connection, a relationship like any other. It's not totally in our control. When we find it, isn't totally in our control. But we still have to go out looking. We still have to be open to whatever connections bring us there. Oof, okay. Now, I want to get into the intensity of the feelings, because I really felt that reading this paragraph. I really felt the intensity of the, especially of the self-critical voice. So you said, "What occurred to me, though, was my lack of self-love preventing me from connecting with people intimately. I have an incredibly self-critical radio running constantly in the back of my head." I think this is very common. A lot of us are probably relating to this as we listen. And the idea is not to resist the sound of that self-critical radio necessarily, but to understand what it is and why it's there. I like the metaphor of the radio that you used because, okay, I don't drive, but you know when you're in a car, somebody else is driving, and you have the radio on, and it automatically switches to traffic news when, like, they need to tell you about a disruption or if there's been some sort of accident. This is kind of what the self-critical radio station is like. So the traffic station is there to warn you of potential danger, to warn you about delays and diversions. And this self-critical voice, though it seems to be just cruel and shitty, is your brain's attempt to do the same thing. The human brain developed during a time when social acceptance was a matter of life or death, when to be rejected meant to be left without food, without support, and without a chance for reproduction, which the brain really wants to do. The human brain hates the prospect of being left without food, support, and a chance of reproduction, because the human brain is wired for survival. That's the main objective. It will do whatever it can think of to cause you to avoid being rejected and make sure that you're accepted by as many people as possible, that you are quote-unquote acceptable. This is why rejection feels so bad. This is why it feels like life or death, because the brain thinks it is. This is why we constantly check in on whether we are quote-unquote good enough, pretty enough, acceptable enough to be loved. This is why you feel like your body wants to run away from crushes, because crushes are a potential for rejection, and the brain cannot risk that. This self-critical radio station is a childlike part of your brain freaking out, screaming all of your deepest insecurities at you, hoping to help you avoid danger, delays, and diversions on your path to surviving long enough to reproduce, just like the traffic station. When you try and ignore this voice, it often just gets louder. It believes that you are in danger and it can't understand why you aren't listening and adjusting yourself to be as palatable, likable, and fuckable as possible. It's quite logical, really. If you ignore a screaming child, they don't usually stop screaming. The thing is, we are no longer living in a scenario where we have to be acceptable to the group in order to survive. Of course, in society, there are biases and prejudices, but for the most part, we are able to survive without needing everyone we meet to like us. So this self-critical radio station is out of date. screaming about dangers that aren't dangerous anymore. So what do we do then? To quiet this radio station, to bring some peace, to allow some positive voices to come through as well, and some music maybe. Well, this voice is a terrified childlike part of your brain. So what would you do for a terrified screaming child? Maybe a cuddle? Maybe a moment to calm down together? Definitely some reassurance. Something like, oh, I can see why you'd be scared about that, about us being rejected for being to this or to that. But it's okay. It's okay, baby. We don't need to be accepted by everyone. We are not in danger. We are safe right now. Our survival does not depend on that. I can see that you're scared and worried for us, but it's okay. This is one of those things that is simple, but not easy. If you want a place to start on this, I recommend finding a way to communicate with this part of yourself. For some people, that could be journaling. Some people find a connection with the childlike part of themselves when they're making art. Tarot is a good way to do it as well. Taking a tarot card and seeing what it kind of like reminds you of can put you in touch with some parts of your brain that you're not listening to. Talking to a trusted friend or therapist, talking to yourself out loud even, whatever works for you. And then take some of that fearful commentary from the self-critical radio, maybe even one sentence, and making a neutral version to soothe the childlike part of yourself with. So, yeah, doing exactly what you would do with a screaming child, taking some time, calming down, having a cuddle, and taking one of those thoughts, maybe something like, I'll never find someone, and making it neutral. So the neutral version of that thought could be, I can't predict if I'll find someone. It seems like a small change, but it can really help bring down the temperature of the screaming child in your brain. This process is called thought work. I think I've probably spoken about it before on this podcast. I will link some episodes from another podcast that explains it in more detail. It's funny because there's a screaming child outside while I'm recording this, so I hope you can't hear that screaming child as well. So, this is a lot of self-work, and just because it's called self-work, don't think you have to do it alone. I want to bring community and friendship back into the frame again. You said, I don't want someone to get to know me romantically because I fear I will ruin them and they will see the worst parts of me. And while it is true that close relationships can bring difficult emotions up and can seem to bring out the worst parts of us, this is a feature, not a bug, of relationships. By which I mean, this is an inherent part of the process of being in relationship with each other. When we are in an intimate relationship, we will see each other in difficult moments. We will be exposed to each other's worst fears and insecurities. We will likely upset each other. We may be critical towards each other through the virtue of spending lots of time together, sharing our inner worlds, and doing more intimate things together. It's just bound to happen. And that can be scary. The thought of being that vulnerable, of being able to be hurt by someone, of having the potential to hurt them. And we do need to make sure we communicate and behave in ways that aren't abusive. But the way to do that isn't to deny yourself connection or shame yourself for not being perfect. I think the best way to approach these fears is with a strong social network. So if you don't feel like you have that, begin building it. Find friendships and connections. Reach out for the support of a therapist if that feels needed. I know waiting lists are long and it's not accessible for everyone, but get on those waiting lists now if it feels like something you need. Deepen your existing connections. Share more with people who feel safe. Make space for them to share with you. You mentioned your mum. Share with her if you can, even if it's difficult. And it is difficult, especially at first, but admit that it's difficult. Admit that it's hard to those you care about and let them know that you want to do it anyway, that you want to share with them even though you're finding it hard. That way, when you do come across a partner, when a partner comes along, they aren't your only deep connection. They aren't the only person you're vulnerable in. They aren't the only person you're vulnerable with, and you'll have others to keep you grounded and accountable and offer perspective. Also, it's just, it's nice to be close with your friends. It's nice to feel seen and to see each other and know each other deeply. Relationships in their nature invite more chaos into our lives. And if this isn't a moment when more chaos is possible for you, you can pause and wait for a better moment to embark on this. It's completely optional. You don't have to get into a relationship now. I want to touch on your closing sentence. You said, "I hate a lot about myself and I don't know how to change this." In the words of Bunny Michael from their book, Me and My Higher Self, me, how do I love myself? Higher self, stop trying to convince yourself that you don't. If that doesn't make total sense, Google my higher self memes and it will be clear. But by saying stop trying to convince yourself that you don't, I think they're speaking about this self-critical radio, the harsh monologue. It's just one part of you, a scared, worried part of you that thinks it's protecting you from rejection. There are other parts of you that already love you, that appreciate you and see your worthiness and beauty and charms. And this radio show, in its own twisted way, loves you as well. It's just very misinformed. uncovering all this self-love that is already there could be a useful thing to journal about. And to finish, I'll adapt another higher self affirmation from Bunny. Dating is hard, so maybe you should stop being so hard on yourself. Again, simple but not easy. That's it from me. Share this podcast with anyone you think might benefit. Send in your love advice questions via my link tree, and there you can find all of the A Whole Orange events, information on Queer IRL, merch, and more. And I will chat to you soon. Bye.